Welcome to Riches in Christ Radio Ministry with Diane Kennedy. Please stay tuned at the end of today's lesson. We'll give you information on how you can acquire this week's tape, along with information about our weekly meetings and website. Now, here's Diane Kennedy.
This week, we are continuing our discussion of how to deal with emotions. And we are specifically focusing on regret and guilt that is stimulated by choices we make that produce negative consequences that can't be undone. All of us have experienced that. All of us have been troubled by regret and guilt. How do we deal with it? We have to learn to deal with it so it doesn't become despair and hopelessness. Regret and guilt can be crippling emotions. We've been talking about emotions for a number of weeks, and hopefully you're seeing a theme here. The way we deal with our emotions is to know what God says and put what He says above what we feel, above what we see, and hold on to what He says until our emotions change. Instead of feeling our feelings of regret and guilt, instead of feeling our feelings of guilt, instead of feeling our feelings of anger, we feed our faith in God. And we encourage ourselves and strengthen ourselves through His Word. Now this week, we're specifically talking about Peter. Peter denied the Lord three times on the night he was crucified. He abandoned the Lord in his hour of need. And we're making the point, think about the grief or the regret and guilt that he must have felt. How do you deal with that? We're specifically told, I wish I could repeat everything I've already said, but all four Gospels talk about this. How everybody fled from the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus was arrested, but Peter followed behind and stood in the courtyard while Jesus was being tried. But when he was confronted by people who said, "Hey, you were with the Nazarene," he denied it vehemently. He even swore and cussed about it. And then his eyes met Jesus, and he was overwhelmed with bitter regret. And we said it got worse for Peter before it got better, because Jesus was crucified, put to death, crucified. They put his body in the tomb. He's abandoned his Lord, his friend, in his hour of need. How do you deal with that? What could he do? The depth of his pain and regret, how did he get through it? Now, 3 days after Jesus died, Jesus raised from the dead. And one of the first places Jesus went was to see Peter. We're told that Jesus made a personal visit to Peter before He even went to see the other disciples. That's such a touching detail. Why did Jesus do that? To restore him, to help him. But let's think about it here. Even though this drama ended well, because Jesus was raised from the dead, that resurrection would not have automatically cleared up feelings of guilt and regret in Peter. Emotions are real. The tormenting devil is real, and dealing with emotions can be really challenging. If you've ever had regret or guilt over something that happened and it all got worked out, you know those feelings of regret and guilt don't go away automatically. Every time Peter walked by the high priest's palace in Jerusalem, which was the actual place where he denied knowing Jesus, it would have stimulated his emotions of guilt, shame, and regret. How did he get past this? He can't undo what he has done. He can only deal with it as it is. Peter had to put what God said above what he could see and feel. When the emotions were rising, he would have had to recount how that when Jesus rose from the dead, he paid a personal visit to Peter to restore him. Peter's failures were sinful in that he lied and swore about it, but they were relational as well. He had been Jesus' closest friend and follower. And Jesus came to tell Peter, it's all okay. Peter would have had to remember that in the face of his emotions. Also, on Resurrection Day, when Jesus appeared to all of his disciples, he explained to them that his death provided remission of sins. Let me just read this real quickly. He appeared to them, and this is where they thought he was a spirit, and he said, no, touch me. A ghost does not have flesh and bone. And he says, have you any meat? And they gave him a piece of fish and a honeycomb, and he ate it in front of them. And then he said to them, verse 44, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scripture. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Now, so much we could say there, but Jesus basically gave them a Bible study, and he began back in Genesis and went all the way through the prophets and the Psalms and explained to them why he had died and what his death accomplished. It provided remission of sins. And now, you guys who've witnessed my resurrection are going to go out and preach remission of sins. Remission is the blotting out, the wiping out, the erasing of sin. We could do whole lessons on this, but our point for this lesson is that from God's standpoint, Peter's failure, the night Jesus crucified, when he abandoned Jesus, has been erased. The cross erased that failure. Peter is going to have to choose to believe that. He's going to have to choose to believe reality as it truly is. His sins have been wiped out. His failures have been wiped out above what he feels. Peter had to choose to believe all of this and put forth effort to feed his faith and not his emotions. Instead of agonizing over, if only, what if, I should have, instead of gazing at the high priest's palace and thinking, that's the place I did it, I shouldn't have done it, when that little movie screen in his brain drops down and the projector goes on and begins to replay his failures, he needed to, out of his mouth, proclaim reality as it is. That's wiped away, devil. That's washed away. Jesus paid me a personal visit to restore me and to tell me it was wiped away and our relationship was restored. Peter would have had to recall the parable of the prodigal son. Remember that? In Luke 15, Jesus told that parable in part to show the response of our Heavenly Father to a sinner who repents of his sin. I don't have time to read it, but in Luke 15, Jesus told about a wayward son who took his inheritance and spent all his father's money on wild, sinful living, ended up in the pig pen, lost all the money, and came back home to father's house. As the son was coming up the path, the father was watching for his son, and he ran to meet him, hugged him, and kissed him. Well, Jesus had run to Peter after the resurrection to hug him and kiss him and tell him, it's all good, son, you're restored. You may remember that the prodigal had a speech prepared. He was going to say to his father, I've sinned against heaven and against you, and I'm no more worthy to be called your son. And in fact, he began to speak that, we're told in verse 21. But if we keep reading, the father blew right past it. He didn't even acknowledge his son's sin of wasting money on harlots and wild living. He knew his son was sorry for what he had done. He didn't want, the father's purpose was not to recount his son's failures. That's not why he wanted him back home to talk about what he had done wrong. He wanted his son back home truly sorry for what he had done, and the prodigal was, and Peter was. The father wanted him back home so he could cleanse him of every trace of sin and restore him to his rightful place in his father's house. That's what the prodigal's father did. He cleansed the son, put new clothes on him, and then had a party to celebrate that his son was back. Well, what if the prodigal son would have let the emotions of regret and guilt keep him from receiving the forgiveness and the cleansing and the restoration of relationship and position that his father offered him? What if the son insisted on living out in the back shed on bread and water, trying to make up for what he had done? What if he spent his days and nights lamenting the, if only I hadn't, if only I would have? The prodigal had to believe what his father said and what his father did on his behalf to be free from the emotional pain. That's what Peter had to do. And we know he did it because when we look at the words and actions of Peter after Jesus returned to heaven, we see that he did believe what Jesus said to him and what Jesus did for him. And it set him free from the emotional pain of what he had done. Peter's first public statement about sin is found in the sermon he preached on the day of Pentecost to a crowd that assembled after the Holy Ghost fell on the disciples in the upper room. I don't have time to read the whole thing, but when the crowd gathered, he told them that they had turned the Christ, the Messiah, over to wicked men who killed him, but God had raised him from the dead. And we read that their consciences were pricked, and they asked Peter, "What should we do about this?" In verse 38, he told them, "Repent, be baptized, and accept remission of sins." Weiss translation says, "Accept the fact that your sins have been put away." The Amplified Bible says, "Accept release from your sins." That's the first message he preached, was you have to repent. Yes, you have to turn from it, but then accept your release from your sins. Accept the fact that your sins have been put away. That's what Peter had to do. Peter was so free from guilt over his sin that he had the confidence before God necessary to administer power and heal a man in the name of Jesus at the temple. The very next chapter, Acts chapter 3, Peter and John went into the temple at the hour of prayer, and there was a lame man begging, and Peter looks at him and says, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he administered the power of God, and that guy was healed. You can't do that if you have guilt over sin, struggling with an unclean conscience before God. Peter had accepted his release from sin. Peter then went on to preach to the crowd that gathered that they had denied the Holy One of God. And in verse 14, it specifically says, "You denied and rejected and disowned the Holy One of God." Well, that's exactly what Peter had done. Yet he was able to preach to them in verse 19, "Repent and be converted to Christ so that your sins may be blotted out, wiped clean, canceled, taken away." In other words, he was able to say to them, "I did what you did, and his blood cleansed me from it, and I am free from it." Peter had to say no to the if-only trap. He had to believe what Jesus did for him and what God said about him, despite what his feelings said. He had to see and agree with reality as it truly is, and not with what his emotions told him about the way things are. By doing that, Peter was able to move past his failures and the pain of regret and guilt that went with them. We need to follow his examples. We got a lot more to say next week. Amen.
You've been listening to Diane Kennedy of Riches in Christ. To order this week's teaching on CD, be ready for our number coming up soon. Diane teaches locally every Friday night at 7:30 p.m. near Highway 44 in Jamison at 4720 Jamison. Praise and worship is provided by Mercy's Child before each lesson. Riches in Christ provides a website at www.richesinchrist.com where you can listen to this week's radio lesson, download years of teachings and outlines, sign up for free weekly outlines, and order Diane's book, God is Good and Good Means Good. Friends, knowing that God is good is the single most important thing to stand on when trouble hits. If you think the trouble comes from or is allowed by God, then you need this book. For information or to order this week's lesson on CD, call us at 1-888-739-6619. Please mention today's date. Our number again is 1-888-739-6619.